He has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there his song of victory. Well, oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his blood.
Well, he loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory the cleansing flood. Oh, I heard about his healing, about his cleansing power, revealing how he had made the lame to walk again. Then he caused the blind to see. Oh, and then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. Oh, and somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, yes, it's victory in Jesus. He's my Savior forever. Oh, he sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. Oh, he loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Amen. God bless you tonight. Good to be in service again together. And want to mention, if you haven't checked the Lost and Found for a while, I believe it's starting to get full and running over. So if you want to check that, there's a little bucket down there in the kitchen area, that little window looking into the kitchen there on that counter. There's some Bibles and different miscellaneous items that have been left. So you might check that to make sure you don't have anything down there. And then Sister Vera requested that we pray for some good friends of theirs, Jim and Johanna Welch. So I want to remember that request in prayer. Also, Sister Savannah Virgin's grandpa is having surgery on Tuesday at 8 a.m. So I want to remember that prayer request. And then I think Sister Stephanie and Nathaniel are going to be traveling this week. So I want to remember them in prayer for traveling mercies. Also, Brother Yarborough is traveling. So I want to remember him in prayer for traveling mercies. And then Brother Layton had gave me an update on his granddaughter, Megan. And I keep getting it wrong, but I got it right that time. But his granddaughter, Megan, she is doing much better, so praise the Lord for that. And how many has an unspoken prayer request you'd like to bring, Lord, with uplifted hand? Amen. Oh, Lord, sees each one. Brother Arnie, would you come tonight and just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests? I borrowed my sermon title from him this morning, so Lord bless you.
Praise the Lord. I want to add a request to that list, too. I'd like for you to pray for my daughter, Roxanne. A lot of you know her. I have two sons that just makes me weep with joy just to think of them being married to good Christian women and pretty little grandchildren. But my daughter, she's been through some treacherous waters over the years. She was brought up right. Her mom taught her how to read from the Bible sitting on her lap when she was 4 or 5 years old. And at this point in her life, I believe that she actually wants to be like her mother. She wouldn't tell you that, but I believe that's what's in her heart. So that gives me hope. Yes. And so just pray for my daughter, Roxanne. She's got two darling little children. And We're no match for what's going on in the world today without the presence of the Lord. We are no match. We have no idea if the scales of immortality could be removed from our eyes and we could see the spiritual wickedness in high places, it would probably take your breath away. But we have a strong, mighty tower. It's the name of the Lord, that we can run into it and be safe. Amen. We have a great honor and privilege now of going to the Lord. It's an awesome thing for a group of people like this to agree together to speak to God on behalf of our relationship with Him. He's the lover of our souls. This is a romance. It's not don't do this and don't do that. This isn't legalistic. It's a romance. My wife doesn't take good care of me because she thinks she has to. She does it because she loves me. And that hasn't always been easy. So I've got a lot to be grateful for. And I just want to say I appreciate you all opening your hearts to a couple of veterans like my wife and I. We've been through a lot of battles over the last 35, 40 years. We lost a couple of them, Brother Lee, but we won some too. But when the war is over, I believe we're going to be carrying the victory flag just like those other saints that's going to come forth, and that coming forth takes place. So let's, I'm sorry, Brother Nathan, for taking your time, but try to forgive me, that's all I can say. But anyway, let's bow our heads now and speak to the Lord. Precious Lord, we're so grateful that we've heard a message that has given us some information that's almost impossible to contain. You became us that we, by your grace, could become you. That's phenomenal, Lord. It's incredible. It's almost unbelievable. Almost. But Lord, we have the living, resurrected Christ standing among us tonight. We're not worthy of that. But you made us worthy. And Lord, this time you're not in a cradle. And you're not wrapped in pretty paper. But you've enshrouded yourself. You've robed yourself with the very flesh of your little elect lady. What a phenomenal thing. And Lord, we thank you for these requests that have been brought before you. We're grateful for these requests. And the reason that we're grateful is because each one of these needs is an opportunity for you to show off. You're the only one who has a right to boast. And we're asking tonight, Lord, to show off your healing power, show off your mercy, show off your grace. I pray that you turn each one of these needs into a testimony that shows the strength and the power of the arm of God. And I promise you, Lord, that I'm speaking for myself, and I believe I'm speaking for all these other dear saints. I promise you that we'll remain grateful, and we will remain thankful. Through the power that's in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Everybody said, amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. I believe we have a special this evening from Brother Barry.
Y'all pray for me. When Satan would have you look at the trials of life that surround you, he tries to appear to bring down the fear all around.
Rejoicing night and day as I walk this narrow way. Hand of God in all my life I see. And the reason of my bliss, yes, the secret all is this, that the Comforter abide with me. Oh, He abides, He abides. Hallelujah, He abides with me. with me. Oh, he abides, he abides. Hallelujah, he abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. He's with me everywhere, and he knows my every care. I'm as happy as a bird and just as free, for the Spirit has control. Jesus satisfies my soul, since the Comforter abides with me. Let's stand. He abides.
Rejoicing night and day as I walk this narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. Amen. You love him tonight? Amen. God bless you. Certainly enjoyed that special, Brother Barry. That was wonderful. And I just feel in the presence of the Lord here already. Brother Arnie apologized for borrowing my time, but it was actually Brother Hoover's time he was borrowing, so I don't care. But ask Brother Hoover. I don't usually. He teases me because one time I asked him way out to preach for me months in advance, and so this morning I texted him and said, "You have something on your heart for tonight?" And I said, "I don't ever hear you complain about giving you too much time." So I just felt led to have him speak for us tonight. So he prayed about it, and after service this morning, I said, "Well, yes, no, or wait a while." And he said that he would. So looking forward to whatever the Lord has put on his heart this evening. I just want to sing this little song, though, before he comes. Same key, sister. Amen. How many believes that when you're going through something, that we've got somebody that we can take our problems to and talk to him about? Amen.
Oh, I once was lost in sin. Oh, but Jesus took me in. And then a little light from heaven filled my soul. Well, it bathed my heart in love, and he wrote my name above. And just a little talk with Jesus made me whole. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Gonna tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry. Then he's gonna answer by and by. Oh, when you feel a little prayer will turn him, you'll know a little fire is burning. You will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Well, I may have doubts and fears, my eyes be filled with tears, but my Jesus is a friend who watches day and night.
every care, and I find just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. So let us have a little talk with Jesus. Gonna tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry. Oh, then he's gonna answer by and by. So when you feel a little prayer will turn in, you'll know a little fire is burning. You will find a little talk. Oh, shake somebody's hand while we sing it. Makes it right. Oh, let us
have our troubles. Hear our faintest cry. He will answer by and by. Now when you feel a little fire will turn, oh, a little fire is burning. You will find a little talk with Jesus. Makes it right.
Amen. Aren't you glad that you can have a talk with him?
Amen.
It's pretty amazing to realize that here we are just human beings and we can talk to the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And he listens. He listens. You can be seated. Greet you in the name of the Lord tonight. And Brother Nathan did give me practically no notice. But that's all right. It's not me. Hopefully it's not me that you hear tonight. It'll be the Lord Jesus. I would like to sing a song. Brother Hunter, who I came to the Lord under up in Muncie, he told me one time when I was first just starting in the ministry, I told him, I said, there's brothers and sisters in the church there in Muncie that have been serving the Lord 25, 30 years, and here I am. I've been serving the Lord just 3 or 4 years at the time, and what could I do? I was so inadequate and felt so scared that I would say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing. And he said, Brother Hoover, if you ever go to the pulpit and feel like that you're adequate for the job or that you're prepared and can handle it, he said, you better get down on your knees and pray for a while longer, because you're in the wrong place. So I come tonight, I'm nervous, but I'm trusting in him.
Amen.
He's the one that's brought me this far, and he's the only one that can take me the rest of the way. It's not anything I can do. I do have a song I'd like to sing. We practiced it probably 3 weeks ago after service one night, Transformed. I'd like to try that. This song may be a little bit too Pentecostal for you, but I have a quote for you. Brother Branham said he was Pentecostal from right here to right here. So if it's all right for him to be Pentecostal, then I can be Pentecostal by experience, not by denomination, not by organization, but by an experience. I'm a Pentecostal. Brother Terry Tidwell wrote this song, and I just love it. The words to it just really speak to me, and I don't have them written down, so you bear with me. I hope I can remember them all. Okay.
about 100 years ago. Messenger cried, it will transform you into a son of God, and you'll be ready for the rapture of the bride. I'm transformed into the image of himself. Well, that's what I see. It's the living word being made flesh again. I'm letting Christ be formed in me. Oh, some folks like to sit and reminisce about the spirit they hadn't felt in a while. I'm not shouting over what he did yesterday, but what he is doing in me now. Amen.
Better stop or I won't have any voice to preach. Aren't you glad? Amen. That God lets you see this great message? Amen. That it is Jesus Christ being made flesh again, the Word itself being made flesh. Amen. And they think that we're worshiping a man. No, we're just worshiping the Word. Amen. The Word that's in us. Amen. It's not off out there somewhere in the distance somewhere, but it's right here. It's alive. Amen. Thank you, musicians. Amen. His very image,
yes, amen,
being formed in us. Amen. That was the whole secret. That was the whole mystery of the message that Brother Branham, amen, brought.
Yes, sir.
Was that the Word was going to be made flesh again.
Yes.
Jesus Christ upon the earth. Amen. Well, let's turn in our Bibles to Numbers, the 7th chapter tonight, if you would. Stand, if you would, while we read. We'll start with Numbers 7th chapter, first verse. And it came to pass on the day that Moses had fully set up the tabernacle and had anointed it and sanctified it and all the instruments thereof, both the altar and all the vessels thereof, and had anointed them and sanctified them, that the princes of Israel, heads of the house of their fathers, who were the princes of the tribes, and were over them that were numbered, offered. And they brought their offering before the Lord, 6 covered wagons and 12 oxen, a wagon for 2 of the princes, and for each one an ox, and they brought them before the tabernacle. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take it of them, that they may be to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and thou shalt give them unto the Levites, to every man according to his service. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening. Lord, you know, Lord, dear Jesus, what's upon my heart. You know what you spoke to me. Lord, I just pray that you would help me to get out of the way so that you can speak it to the people the same way that you delivered it to me. Lord, it thrills my heart to think about it, to think of how simple it is, but yet how profound it is, what you want to do in these flesh bodies, Lord, in this bride, in this day and age that we live in. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would just take us now, Lord, and lift us up into heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and let us hear the voice of the bridegroom as he speaks to the bride tonight. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Had several people ask me what my topic was going to be, and I think I gave 3 different answers because it kept changing. But I would just like to title this, I believe tonight, Instruments of God.
Amen.
Now, I've been very busy over the last few months, and it's a busy time of year for Sister Jeannie and I and the business that we're in. So I wasn't able to make every Wednesday night service. I don't think I've missed a Sunday, but I was here for every missed a couple of Wednesday night services. So if some of this is things that Brother Nathan's already preached to you, then you just figure that it didn't sink in the first time and you need to hear some of it again. But just it's what came to my heart today about, I guess it's about 9 o'clock this morning, my phone dinged. Or actually, it's about 9:45. My phone dinged, and I looked down. Who's texting me now? And there was a text from Brother Nathan. Do you have anything on your heart for tonight? And I'm like, okay, thanks a lot. And my first response was, no, not on this short of notice. I certainly don't. But then I began to pray about it on the way to church, and then I went downstairs and prayed during the early part of the service. And I come upstairs and sat down there next to my wife, and all of a sudden the Lord just began to, things just began to flow and things, and I thought, wow, if I can get that down on paper the way that it's coming to me, then hopefully it'll be a blessing. And I have to tell you that Sister Stephanie was part of it, because I come up the steps and I was just really enjoying the music, and And I come walking up the aisle and saw that it was her that was on the piano. And I thought, Lord, thank you for blessing her like that, that she can play and we can worship the way that we're playing. And so I just want to take this. Is going to be so simple. Some of you are going to go, duh. But I just want to take an example tonight right here in our midst and just show you what Jesus Christ really wants to do in you. Because as the pastor preached this morning, an excellent message, absolutely wonderful message. You can have the best computer in the world. You can have the best programs in the world. But if you don't know how to apply it, what good is it? Now, that's one of the questions we always ask in grade school and high school was, you know, the teacher teaching us algebra. When am I ever going to apply this? You know? I couldn't figure out any practical use for algebra in my life when I was there in school, and I never could figure out any practical use for dissecting sentences either. That was another one that was always, you know, went right over my head. I couldn't, you know. Then Sister Barbara, Brother Lauren's wife, and Brother, she used to sit back there right behind where Sister Rebecca is, in the church over there, Brother Brad's, and I would say something, I would use the wrong grammar, and I would see her, you know, she'd have her head down like that listening to me, and I'd see her go. So she helped me. She straightened me out on some things. But anyway, I think we'll just use the guitar tonight. And I just want to show you a little something that really helped me, because I've been struggling. I've been going through some battles. We all go through battles. That's nothing new, and I'm not asking for your pity or your sympathy. I just ask for your prayers, and I pray for you all, because I realize that every one of us is, as Brother Burley Williams said one time, he said, every one of us is either going into a trial, we're coming out of a trial, or we're right smack dab in the middle of a trial. So you pray for him. If you can't figure out anything else to pray for, you pray for Brother David and say, Lord, help him in that trial, whether it's the next one coming, the one I just come through, or the one I'm in the middle of. But anyway, this guitar over here that Brother Nathan plays, it's an instrument. No one's going to argue with me on that. This is an instrument, okay? And this instrument has a purpose. Now, when we leave tonight, Brother Nathan gets through playing it, and he sets it down, and we leave tonight. There's no one, I don't think, there's no one that's going to say, man, didn't that guitar play good tonight? Because that guitar can't do anything of itself. It's an instrument. It's got an intended use. It's got a purpose that it was created for. Its creator designed it for a particular reason. Now, some people use it to play rock and roll music, and some people play it to worship, but it was designed to make music. All right? And the guitar doesn't get the glory. When the guitar is through being played and the service is over and everything's said and done, this guy right here is going to get the pat on the back. Man, did he play that guitar. Because it's just an instrument. Let me demonstrate this.
Oh, you can't make it make sound?
Yeah, there. Oh, I can't. I just don't want to be here.
Just say amen at the right time.
All right. Now, I'm going to sing to you and play for you my favorite song. I love the song, He Paid a Debt. Well, I shouldn't have told you what it was. I wanted to see if you could recognize it. All right? But I'm going to play it and sing it, okay? He paid a debt he did not owe. You get the point? It's an instrument. And in the wrong hands, there's nothing that makes you want to worship with what you just heard. I promise you. I didn't even want to worship on that song. But if I take it and I put it in the right hands, play he didn't pay the debt.
He paid a debt, even not, oh, I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone who could wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. All day long, Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay.
Thank you, brother. Now, you see, the instrument didn't play the song bad or good, either one. The instrument just yielded itself into the hands of someone that knew what to do with it.
Yes.
Now, I could take it and I could say, well, I think that string's got a little bit too much tension on it, and I'll back that off some because I want the string to be comfortable. I don't like tension and all that. But you see, there has to be some tension in that instrument for it to produce what it's supposed to produce. And guess what? The instrument doesn't get to decide how much tension is on the string. It doesn't get to decide what song it's going to play. All it is just an instrument in the hands of the one who wants to use it.
Amen.
For their purpose.
Yes. Come on.
It was the person playing the instrument that controlled whether the sound was good or bad. Now, you may not even be a very good music person. You may not have good pitch or anything, but you could tell that his plan was the good plan and my plan was the not so good plan. That didn't take a whole lot, all right? But it's the person who's playing the instrument. Now, I'll just use the piano over here for the next example. The instrument here has a purpose. It has a design. And it didn't get to tell the person who was making it at the factory. It didn't get to say, I want to be a tambourine. The person who was designing it and building it, they decided it was going to be a piano.
Amen.
And so I could come up, and the piano's designed for a certain thing, and I could say to it, play.
Right.
Why is it not working? Because that's not the intended use of it.
All right.
And no matter how much I jump up and down, and I scream and I yell, it's not going to play until someone... Not me, but someone comes up here that has the ability and the skill and knows what keys to hit so that it will produce the sound that it's supposed to produce.
Amen.
I could even talk to it nicely and say, you know, piano, you're really a nice piano. I would like for you to play. It's just going to sit there.
Right.
Until it gets in the right hands and someone understands its purpose. And someone understands what it was designed for, and then it will produce what it's supposed to produce. I hope you understand where I'm going with, or what I'm trying to say to you. It won't do anything until it's used for its intended purpose. And every instrument, whether it's a guitar, whether it's a piano, whether it's these drums, no matter what the instrument, it has a purpose. It was designed for a reason. It didn't just happen. It wasn't, you know, somebody just didn't walk along one day and all of a sudden a piano appeared before them. No, someone that had some understanding, that had a higher intelligence, was able to take it and say, you know, if I put these strings on this, I'll be able to hit these keys and I'll be able to get this sound out of it and it'll be wonderful. Now, I don't know who the first person to ever play a piano was, but I'm sure that whenever they started playing that first piano, the first time one was ever designed, that people must have gathered around and said, that's beautiful. That's marvelous. How did you do that? And the person that designed the piano said, I just was, I just was thinking one day about music and how notes go together, and I thought that it would be neat if I could just play them on these keys, and I would be able to sing a song, and I'd be able to worship. And so a piano came into being. Same with the guitar. Same with all these instruments, whether it be a trumpet, whether it be the saxophone. You know, you wouldn't want me to pick up that saxophone and try to play it. There would be no worshipful attitude in your heart when I got through. And probably most of us in here. But when Brother Weber picks it up and puts it to his lips and begins to play, it makes beautiful music. But it's still not the saxophone that's making the music. It's the person that has a hold of the saxophone and is using it for its intended purpose. And every person is designed and created and brought into this world for a purpose. Every one of us were designed to be an instrument of God. We didn't just happen upon the scene. All right? I wasn't swimming around one day with a little tail in the water, and all of a sudden I grew 4 feet and popped up on the shore and began to walk around. That's not how it happened. I was designed by an almighty God with supreme intelligence, and he designed me for a purpose, and he had a plan when he brought me into this world. My mom and dad might have said, one day I was just going through town, and I saw these three girls standing there in front of the drugstore, and the one looked really pretty to me, and I asked who she was, and the girl that he asked who that woman was said, LG, she's a really nice girl. She doesn't deserve anybody like you. Don't mess up her life. But that's how they met. Now, I can say that they just happened to run into each other, and they happened to get married, and they happened to have three daughters before they had me, and then I came along. But see, that's not the truth of the matter. Every single person sitting here under the sound of my voice tonight came into this world with a divine purpose in their life. Amen. Now, some of us realize it when we're in our teens. Some of us realize it when we're in our 20s, and some of us, it takes us most all of our life to really grasp it and understand what God's trying to do. But he has a divine purpose. You are an instrument designed for a purpose. Now, the piano doesn't get to look over to the guitar and say, I'm going to be the guitar tonight. You find something else to do. That piano was a piano from its beginning, and it'll be a piano until its wires get all messed up and it deteriorates and things like that. It's designed to be a piano. That's all it's ever going to be. It's going to be a piano. If the piano could talk to me tonight, the piano could be saying to me, Mr. Hoover, I really, really, really wanted to be a trumpet. Make me a trumpet. I could do everything I could try. I can't make that a trumpet. Now, Sister Stephanie might be able to make it sound like a trumpet with some of the electronics in it, but it's never going to be a trumpet. It's a piano. And the only way that it's ever going to be useful to you and I is for it to be used as a piano. We could try to make it something else. We could try to call it something else, but it's a piano. All right. Just bear with me. I'm going somewhere with this. I promise you. All right? The piano does not get the glory for the way that we worship. Right. We don't come over here and bow down and say, oh, great piano, we're just so glad that you sounded the way you sounded tonight because we were able to worship so well. Sister Stephanie or Brother Josh gets the glory for how that thing sounds. Or Amanda, if she plays it, or anyone else that's got talent to play it. If I play it, there would be no glory for me or the piano. But whenever they play it, then we can walk up to them after service and mean it from the bottom of our heart. And if I played the piano, I'd surely go up and tell Sister Stephanie after service, Sister Stephanie, we appreciate the way you played the piano. just like you appreciated the way Brother Nathan played the guitar. Sister Stephanie gets the glory, or Brother Josh gets the glory for what we hear coming through these speakers whenever we're worshiping. Because Brother Branham told us that the musicians set, the music creates an atmosphere. It sets the tone for the service, so the Holy Spirit has an ability to come in and move in the hearts and the lives of people. That's why David was sent for Saul, or Saul sent for David, was because David could take that harp and begin to strum upon it, and that evil spirit would leave Saul. And so the Holy Spirit comes down and anoints someone like Sister Stephanie or Brother Josh, and they begin to play the instrument. And we say, oh, thank you, Lord, that Sister Stephanie played that song, or Brother Josh played that song. That's what I needed to get myself, all the things of the day out of my mind, all the worries and everything that Satan tried to attach to me today, all those little spirits that Laodicea tries to put upon me. Lord, I was able to just come in your house. And you know what? I completely forgot about that phone call from that bill collector after she started playing that song. I completely forgot what that doctor told me this afternoon when I was in his office when Brother Josh started that song. What is it? It's God using an instrument and a person who's chosen to play it and talented and gifted to play it to create an atmosphere so that he can come down and that sickness will leave you and you can walk out and say, I was healed in the service. Amen. Because the atmosphere was created by an instrument so that Jesus Christ could move the way that he wants to move.
Amen.
So everyone can't be the piano. Wouldn't that be something if we had 100 piano players, but nobody wanted to be the song leader, or no one wanted to play the guitar, or no one wanted to play the drums? Not everybody can be the piano, but every one of you is an instrument.
All right, amen.
Every one of you has something that God knows that's laying in there,
amen,
and that he wants to get out of you.
Yes.
Now, we want to look at it and say, well, I don't have the ability to play like Brother Nathan plays a guitar, so I'm never ever going to pick up a guitar and play it. No, if God's burdened you to play the guitar, then let God use you to play the guitar.
Yes.
But don't just play the guitar because you want to be like Brother Nathan.
All right.
Don't just be a preacher because you want to be like Brother Layton. Don't just be a song leader because you want to be like Brother Furman. Be what God is calling you to be and what he wants to use you for, because he designed you special. He didn't design every one of us to be the pastor. It just won't work, folks. I mean, you got to think about it. That won't work. He didn't call 10 of us to be pastor of this church. You know why you can't be pastor? Because you haven't been through what he's been through. You haven't been tuned for the task that the master has that needs to be brought across this pulpit. Because this man's been through some tests and some trials, and he's had some tension put on him.
All right. Amen.
So that when he comes to the pulpit, he doesn't sound too harsh, and he doesn't sound too soft. You see, if I knew some of the things that he knows about some of you, well, let me tell you. But see, God tuned that out of him. Or if I had a different feeling for some of you than what he has, I might be a little soft and say, oh, well, you know, that's just Sister so-and-so. I'm just going to turn my head and ignore that and let it go. But God has tuned him to where he's seen things and he's been through things to where he'll come to the pulpit and be used of God. And it'll just sound just right when that shepherd's voice goes out and that sheep hears it.
Amen. Right.
And I can't fill that position, and neither can any of you. But neither would it work for him to say, you know what? I'm just going to go back and sit at the back and I'm going to be one of the deacons. God didn't design him for that. He may have been a deacon at some point, I don't know, but that's not what God designed him for. You say, how do you know, Brother David? Because I can see how beautiful he's being played by the Holy Spirit in the position that he's in. And I just have to sit and marvel and say, that is absolutely wonderful. That is marvelous. How? I mean, think about it. If we knew him as well as he knows him, we might say, how in the world did God bring that out through Brother Nathan? But God has the ability to do it. Amen. And all we can do is sit there and say, God, thank you for that instrument that you set in this church and called him our pastor.
That's right. That's right.
The same as we can say, God, thank you for that instrument that you set on the piano called Sister Stephanie or Brother Josh or Sister Brenda. Thank you for putting them through the tests and the trials that they went through so that they could sit there with the difference between Brother Furman and Brother David leading songs and not lose their mind. Because it's not easy, I promise you. You notice, the last time I led songs, Sister Stephanie, Brother Josh been sick for a while since. I'm just putting 2 + 2 together, okay? So the question that you have to ask yourself at this point is this. And again, this is really, really, really simple. But that's just the way the Lord deals with me. Is what is it that the Holy Spirit is trying to get out of your life if you would just yield and let him play the instrument? Because he does all things well.
Amen.
He doesn't mess up. I was telling some of the brothers the other day, God is not wringing his hands. I don't care what your situation is, my situation, your situation, or anybody else's situation. I don't care what it's called, if it's called cancer, if it's called diabetes, if it's called debt, if it's called lack of a job. I don't care what the situation is. God is not wringing his hands. And going, what in the world? What in the world is Anthony doing? He's not. Anthony might be wringing his hands. Sister Tina might be wringing her hands. They might be scratching their... But God hadn't lost a minute's sleep over it. He's going, I got them right where I want them. You say, Brother David, how can you be so sure of that? Because there's three Hebrew children in the Bible, and it was written for our ensample. Okay, it was written for us to read and put ourselves in that situation and think, if God would do it for the Hebrew children, Brother Jimmy, he'll do it for David Hoover.
Amen.
And the three Hebrew children went right up to the very last step and stepped off the last step. And God was never out of control of that situation. And the three Hebrew children looked at it and said, whether he delivers us or not. Now, they didn't get that faith of their own. They didn't muster it up and say, I'm going to be strong. I'm shaking inside, but I'm going to be strong. No, there was this assurance that God put down inside of them that they looked at that fire and they said, whether he delivers us or not, we're not bowing to this king. We're not bowing to this image of a man. But the whole time, even as they're stepping up there and maybe their wives and their children was worried about it and they was having an all-night prayer meeting and they was seeking God and saying, God, you got to deliver them. Lord, prove yourself that you're Jehovah. Lord, I know that you're going to shut that furnace down. But he didn't shut the furnace down. He let it get 7 times hotter. But at the right time, Jehovah come on the scene. And he didn't ever have to go to plan B. Since the beginning of time, Adam and Eve, Jacob and Esau, Cain and Abel, the children of Israel down in Egypt, God never, ever, ever, ever has had to go to plan B. That ought to give us an assurance tonight. That ought to give us a deep, settled peace down in our heart that God has got this thing under control. All I have to do is yield myself and let Him draw across the strings that are tense sometimes. Oh, they're tight sometimes. They're so tight sometimes that if it wasn't God that was playing them, it would be, "What do you want?"
True.
Sometimes it still gets that way. I hope they don't mind me using them. But I was so blessed by Brother Luke's testimony the other night. Actually, Brother Luke's and Sister Stephanie's. That just blessed my heart to realize that God is still able, just upon the faith of a sister saying, "God, your prophet said, if he needed that knife in his pocket, you put it in his pocket. And God, you wouldn't do something for your prophet that you wouldn't do for another part of the bride." Now see, God takes a bass fiddle like Luke and puts him next to a clarinet like Stephanie. And I would never put a bass fiddle and a clarinet together. I just wouldn't do it. But God does it so that at just the right time, he can play the music. And Luke didn't even know what he was saying. And Stephanie didn't know what she was saying. I don't believe, based on their testimony. And Luke goes, "Stephanie, why did your mom clean so good?" But you see, that was just the right thing because that took Luke out of the picture.
All right. Think about it.
And then Stephanie comes along and she prays a prayer. And she didn't stand up in the middle of the church and pray the prayer. She just prayed in the quietness of her home. And then she went to sleep. She meant to get up and go check her purse right then. But she forgot. Because it wasn't the right time for that note to be hit.
Right.
And so God said, as the conductor of this orchestra, of this symphony, God said, "Not yet, Stephanie, just fall asleep." And then she gets up the next morning and completely forgets about it. But at the right time, right whenever the note was written in there by the divine creator,
yes,
thousands of years ago,
amen,
before there was an earth or a sun or a moon,
yes,
God already had written the music. And at the right moment, little sister clarinet reaches in her purse and goes, "Ding!"
Amen.
And God gets the glory. Because a couple of instruments allowed themselves to be played by the master.
Amen.
Instead of trying to fix it themselves.
Amen.
Hope you understand where I'm coming from.
Yes. Amen.
Let's go to Romans, the 6th chapter. Romans 6, Paul speaks about this. And remember, Moses, he anointed them and he sanctified all the instruments for the purpose that they were supposed to be used in the tabernacle in the Old Testament.
Yes.
And it worked. You won't find any place in the Old Testament where the table of showbread got up and walked over to the candlestick and said, "Look, I've had about enough of your always glowing. Okay? It's time for me to get some of the glory around here." But at the right time, the table of showbread was sitting there for David and his men whenever they were famished and they were able to come in and sustain themselves. You say, "That's not what it was designed for." That's what you think. But before Moses ever had a tabernacle, before God ever took him up on the mountain and showed him the design of the tabernacle and all that, God already knew that I'm going to have a servant and he and his soldiers are going to be famished and I'm going to have the table of showbread sitting there. When they can't find bread anywhere else, they'll come to my house and I'll have bread for them. And God cared enough about me and you, brothers and sisters, that before we were ever formed in our mother's womb, before we were ever a thought in our daddy's mind, before there was anything that was formed, God said, I'm going to have a David Hoover. I'm going to have some Bible believers. I'm going to have some people that are going to forsake everything and follow me. And I'm going to have bread for them in the seventh age message.
Amen.
I'm going to have water from the rock that will sustain them in that dry, weary land called Laodicea. And somebody comes to you and says, you're not supposed to quote it like that. It didn't mean that. Don't tell me what it meant when God takes it and settles it down in my heart and gives me strength and keeps me going for another day or two until I can get back to church, because I need to hear the pastor's voice, but I can't get to the pastor. So I hit play on a tape, or I hit play on my MP3, and I can hear the voice of God speaking to me and saying, you were designed for a purpose, and God has a plan in your life.
Amen.
And he doesn't even have to tell me, Brother Jimmy, what the song is that he's going to play. He doesn't even have to tell me what key he's going to play it in. I don't have any say-so in it. I just have to yield myself and let him make the music and him get the glory out of what he wants to hear. Only thing I can do is sit back and say, Lord, I pray this is a sweet sound in your ear. I pray that you receive glory to yourself. So Paul picks it up. Paul sees this, and I don't know if it was on the 3.5 years he was on the backside of the desert or what, but Paul gets to studying on the tabernacle one day, and he realizes that those vessels were instruments for the worship of Almighty God. And he realizes that as the earthly tabernacle was a type and a shadow for a spiritual tabernacle, that God's got instruments in his day. And God wants to use those instruments for a purpose. And he says here in the 6th chapter of Romans, in the 13th verse, he says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And a little sister sitting in the church of Rome. And the pastor gets up. Maybe it was Timothy that carried the epistle. I don't know. But a brother comes with an epistle, says, we got a letter here from Apostle Paul. He wanted to speak to the church of Rome. And so they open it up and they begin to read, and they get to that scripture. And a little sister sitting back there goes, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Now I understand that I don't yield myself to sin and the things of this world, but I yield myself unto God Almighty. And he can play a symphony. He can play a song of praise in my neighborhood. That'll call it. Paul can't come to Rome and preach. Paul's in jail. But because of what Paul wrote, I can yield myself as an instrument of righteousness unto God, and my neighbor can give their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. My loved one can surrender to Jesus Christ, and you're going to get glory, God, because it's going to be beautiful in the sound of your ear. Brother Nathan has been bringing us, he's been wearing a quote out. I'm not going to read you that quote, but I'm going to read you something that the Lord led me to based on that quote. He's been talking about God always uses human instrumentality. And the other night I was speaking to a brother down in Tennessee, and I got to telling him about some of the things Brother Nathan's been preaching. And he goes, well, brother, it sounds like you preached it. I said, no, I didn't preach it. Brother Nathan preached it. It's just alive in my heart whenever I get to thinking that God has always, from the beginning of time all the way through to the end, God has always used human instrumentality. Listen to what Brother Branham says in 1947, the angel of God. Now, God could have sent the angel down, couldn't he? He's talking about Moses here, but let's just bring it up to modern, to our day. He says, now God could have sent the angel down, couldn't he? He could have let the angel come himself. But instead of that, he sent the angel to speak through the voice of a man. Now, if you go back and read the whole context, he is discussing, he's preaching about Moses right here. But just put it in our day. He sent the angel to speak through the voice of a man. God always used man for his work. Is that right? He don't use organizations or so forth and mechanical devices, but he uses men. The Holy Spirit fell upon men. That's God's instrument here on earth. Amen. Every person sitting under the sound of my voice, you are an instrument of God. You just have to yield yourself to the right person to play. Who are you allowing to play the music of your life? Who are you allowing to make music with your life? You know, the same instrument, this one right here. In fact, Brother Nathan, pick that guitar up a minute, please. I want you to play me some boogie woogie music, okay?
Not right now, brother. Not in my church.
Thank you. He could. You realize that?
Yes.
Just like that, he could use that instrument and he could play the devil's music. But there's something. The devil can't comprehend this. He cannot understand this. It blows his mind. The reason I know that is because he comes to me every day and says, hey, I want to play something in your life. I want to make some music with you. I want to do something. I want to use you. But you see, this vessel that's being played by a supreme being dedicated this instrument to the purpose. Just like Moses in the Old Testament, he anointed and sanctified each vessel for that use. That's why when the Babylonian king took the instruments and said, I'm going to use them for my party. I'm going to show you there's nothing to that Jehovah. Jehovah says, uh-uh. That vessel was sanctified. That vessel was anointed. And it's only to be used for a certain thing. You're being weighed in the balance and found wanting. And I'm going to take your kingdom because you misused the vessel. He could play rock and roll music on that if I ask him to. He could. But you see, this vessel's been anointed. This vessel's been sanctified. Both of those vessels have been set aside for only the master's use. So the question again, knowing that God uses men as his instruments, he uses sisters too. He plays some beautiful music whenever you all go out and you dress holy, when nobody in the world's dressing holy. That's beautiful in the eyes and the ears of Jehovah God. He loves that. Are you instruments of righteousness? Whose instruments are you? Who are you yielded to? Who has control of your life? You say, Brother David, it just scares me. It scares me to turn loose and let God do what he wants to do. Why does that scare you? You know, God's never embarrassed. You can't find me a place in the Bible where God embarrassed people when they yielded to him. He's not going to make a fool out of you. They got ridiculed sometimes. They got mocked. They got made fun of. But God didn't make a fool out of them. That fear is just you not wanting to let go. That fear is you wanting to hold on and decide how this thing is going to turn out. Guess what? You don't have any say in how it's going to turn out. God's already purposed how it's going to turn out. You don't want to let go of that teenager. You don't want to let go of that loved one because you're afraid that it's going to make you look bad. Guilty. Youth camp. About 10 years ago. I'm the leader of the leaders at youth camp. Brother Sievert asked me, he says, Brother Hoover, pray about it. I want you to come up. I want you to be over all the leaders of each of the cabins. I want you to get them together each day and have devotions. And I want you, if a problem comes up at camp, I want them to come to you. I said, Brother Sievert, I'll try. So guess what happens at camp that year? They come to me because we got a problem. We got a problem in cabin 14. Brother Hoover, we need you to come out back here to cabin 14 on the radio. What's the problem? We just need you to come back here. Between the front of camp and cabin 14, there was that feeling in the pit of my stomach. This involves my son. I got back there, and sure enough, there is nothing uglier than a Hoover being a Hoover. I'm just telling you. If I took the Holy Ghost out of my life, it'd be real ugly real fast, Brother Jimmy. I am what I am, as Paul said, by the grace of Almighty God, and because there's a Holy Ghost that touched my life one day. Or else you all wouldn't want to be around me. You wouldn't want to go out to eat with me. You wouldn't want to be friends with me. You wouldn't want me coming over. And those, I'm just telling you, Hoovers are Hoovers. I preached one time over Brother Brad's that every one of you need to pray that God would keep all the Hooverness out of you. It doesn't matter if your last name's Hoover or Bryant or whatever. But anyway, so I go back and I'm going to take the situation under control because he's my son. You know what? We both, Brother Jimmy, I have never been so humiliated in my life than to stand there with all those men that have been fasting and praying for young people to get the Holy Ghost and have an experience with God. And they watched this Hoover have a meltdown with the young Hoover. Because I was trying to save face. And God said, oh, you got this under control, huh? You're going to handle this? Okay, I'll just step back and let you handle it. And I made a mess out of it. Because I don't have control. I don't have the final say. And no matter how many times I touch him, no matter how much I lay hands on him, no matter how much I determine, you're not going to embarrass me in front of all these people. Guess what? If God doesn't touch him, if God doesn't change his attitude and his heart, what am I going to do? But just what I did, stand there and make a fool out of myself. Now, the brothers were gracious enough. They said, Brother Hoover, thank goodness it was the last day of camp. And the next day, as we're in the car and we're driving out, the brothers came up to me and said, hey, we're praying for y'all. Yeah, I'm glad. None of y'all have ever been in that situation, I know. What kind of music is he trying to get out of your life? What's he trying to do in your life right now if you would just let go and let Jesus Christ play the strings? If you would just let him blow his breath through your life, what would the symphony sound like if you just yield to him? I've been to some concerts and I've heard some beautiful music. And you know what? I have never, ever in my life witnessed this trumpet get up and go over to this trombone and say, you are in the wrong key and you are messing it all up. They don't do that. The instruments don't fight. We fight. We get upset with each other. But you won't find one instrument telling the other instrument, stop, do it right. And in God's symphony, there are only two players. It's not a 100-person symphony that's playing this music. The same one who's playing my instrument is playing Brother Arnie's instrument.
Yes.
The only other player there could be would be the devil.
All right. Right.
So where do I get the ability or the authority or the idea that I can go over to Brother Arnie and say, Brother Arnie, that's just not the way you're supposed to be playing. That's not the sound that you're supposed to be making. Because again, I wouldn't put a bass fiddle and a clarinet together, but God can do it, and it makes beautiful music.
Amen.
And my job is to sit here and let God use me whenever it's His time to use me and to make the music that He wants to. And whatever He wants to do with Brother Arnie, that's just all right. I'm just going to let that sink in for a minute. I'm preaching to the preacher right now. You all just can get the crumbs if you want to. But God does not need my opinion or my approval or my disapproval for what He does in Brother Arnie's life.
Amen.
I'm just using Brother Arnie. I hope he doesn't mind. God can play Brother Arnie's music any way He wants to. Whether I agree or not, that's too high. That's too low. I wish he'd be a little bit louder. I wish he'd be a little bit softer. I wish. Brother Branham said, I didn't have a thing coming in this. How much time have I taken? I'm sorry. Oh my goodness.
You're fine, brother. You got intrigued. I'll lay down now.
But how often do we get out of where we're supposed to be with God because we think that so-and-so or this or that should be done this way or that way?
Amen.
I'm just the instrument. If it's off key, I could be out of tune, but He'll tune me up.
Amen.
He didn't say to Sister Lori, Sister Lori, quit playing and go get Brother Hoover in tune. I'll just show you something. This piano is not going to go over there and get that guitar in tune.
Right.
Now, God could use, just as Brother Nathan could use, God could use that piano to get that guitar in tune.
Right.
That's right.
But it's not the piano that's doing the tuning or correcting the guitar.
Amen.
Amen.
There's a standard. I don't understand it. I don't know it. I couldn't hit it if I had to. But there is a standard called C. And I don't care if you're in Romania or if you're in Russia or if you're in Africa or you're in America. C is C, right? There's not four versions of C. So it's not up to the piano to decide what C is. C's already been determined. And the piano has to make sure it's playing C correctly, and that'll help the guitar play C correctly. I didn't know it all. This was all in here, but anyway, I'm trying to bring this down to a close. Folks, look, this is not this instrument telling these instruments. This is this instrument trying to find his place in the symphony, so that I don't mess up everybody who's sitting around me, and so that I don't make God go, oh, no, wait a minute. Okay, here's the problem. It's this instrument right here out of tune, and so he has to take me over to the side while you all go ahead with the symphony, and he has to work on me and get me back in tune. And then when he brings me back and sets me down in your midst, I just blend in with everything else that everybody else is singing and playing. Because see, it's not about this instrument or that instrument or that instrument. It's about what he wants to hear.
Amen.
So Brother Branham says, in the healing of Jairus' daughter. Now, he is the Son of God. We're in a prayer line, okay? I'm just trying to set the context for you. Now, he is the Son of God. I'm just a man, not a thing. This here thing is a perfect mute. And he's pointing to the mic, okay? He says, this here thing is a perfect mute. It can't speak at all. These speakers up there, unless something alive back here's speaking through it. If the detractors, if the people that are too far on one side of the road could just understand what he's saying right there. It's not what you're hearing coming out of the speakers. It's not the microphone or the speakers that decides what you hear. It's the one using the microphone and speaking into the microphone, and it sends it to the speakers and it comes forth. And Brother Branham says, he's the Son of God. I'm just a man. A man what? A man yielded. So that what goes into the microphone and comes out those speakers is not William Branham. Amen. You're not hearing. How many times does he say that? You're not hearing the voice of William Branham. God said that. I'll have to go back and listen to see what he said, because I don't know what he said. Amen. He says, unless something alive back here speaking through it, and so is a man, just an instrument, just a clay. Right. But if Jesus Christ can take that person in full control, and if you'll obey his calls, he can preach the gospel through him, he can speak with tongues through him, he can show visions through him, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So here's the question. I was sitting with some folks at lunch today, and I shared this little story with them. And hopefully this will bring it to a point where you'll be able to understand what Brother Hoover's trying to say. A few years ago, 20-some years ago now, I sat over in Freedom Hall. They had a full day. They had Colin Powell there. They had Zig Ziglar there. They had Paul Harvey there. And they had this fellow that was the coach for that bad team in Lexington at the time. I just did that for Brother Lee's benefit. Now, they had Rick Pitino there as a speaker that afternoon. Now, some people wouldn't like me using Rick Pitino to quote Rick Pitino in a message church. I don't think Brother Nathan's going to mind, because he's heard the rest of this, okay? But Rick Pitino comes out, and at that time he was a Kentucky coach, and he was in Freedom Hall. And so he makes a joke about Freedom Hall being one of his favorite arenas and tells what his record was in Freedom Hall, which he won more games in Freedom Hall than he lost. But he followed that up. And this is the part I want you to really get. He said, everybody's always asked me what my success is, whether it was at Boston or Providence or Kentucky or New York. Or no, it wasn't New York, because he hadn't been to New York yet. Or Kentucky. And he goes, the whole thing is really very simple. He said, when I was first a coach at Boston, he said, one of the assistants took duct tape. Later on, they painted them. But at the first, they used duct tape. And they took duct tape of the team's colors, Brother Jimmy, and where the team went from the locker room into the arena for practice or to play the game, they took the team colors and they put down on the threshold. And every player and every coach, when they came to that university to play basketball, they were taken to that doorway and they were told to look down. And they said, when you step across these colors right here, here's what I want you to understand. Once you step across these colors, nothing else matters. I'm going to use Lexington as an example. Nothing else matters but Kentucky basketball. Once you step across those colors, I don't care what your girlfriend said to you before you came to practice this afternoon. I don't care what your mom called and said the doctor told her. I don't care about anything, and you're not to care about anything once you step across these colors except for Kentucky basketball. And if the point comes in a practice or in a game that anyone, including the coach and any player, feels that someone does not have Kentucky basketball first and foremost on their mind, they were allowed to walk up to, at the time, Coach Pitino and say, "Coach, I don't think you're with us today. Why don't you go back and step over the line and come back in here and give us 100%? And he said there were plenty of times in his life, in practices, that Jamal Mashburn, one of the other players, would walk up to him and say, "Coach, where are you at? Because you're not helping us right now. You're not thinking about Kentucky basketball. Why don't you go back and step over the line?" And he literally, in front of all of his players, went back, stopped, looked down at the line, cleared everything else out of his head, and come back into the arena for one purpose. Now, I tell you that little story for this purpose. What if? What if, for one service, every man, woman, boy, and girl, under the sound of my voice, when you step through those doors back there, whatever door you came through, when you step through those doors, the only thing that mattered was you looked down and you realized, I'm entering into an arena where the blood of Jesus Christ, the life of Jesus Christ, is the only thing that matters. It doesn't matter to me who's on the piano or who's on the organ. It doesn't matter what songs Brother Furman sings or doesn't sing. It doesn't matter what the deacon said to me out in the parking lot or not. The only thing that matters is when I step over this line.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is going to be here, and I'm going to have all my attention, all of my devotion. Everything within me is going to be focused on Him. And I'm going to meet with Him. And He's going to commune with me, and I'm going to commune with Him. Because the reality of the matter, I'm not saying this to belittle anybody. I'm trying to get you to realize just how important it is that you focus on Jesus Christ and Him alone. It doesn't matter what this instrument is sounding like. She's not in control of whether you get a hold of Jesus or Jesus touches your life.
Amen.
This brother here, whether he raises his hands or he doesn't raise his hands, that doesn't affect my relationship and my response to Jesus Christ in any way whatsoever. He's going to make whatever sound the Master uses him to make. My job is just to yield myself and say, "Lord, I'm here for one purpose and one purpose only. I want to meet with You."
Amen.
Let's bow our heads. What would happen if every person was in tune, every person was on key, every person was yielded, and was being used in the Master's hands? Brother Branham says this as I'm closing. Fellowship by Redemption, 1955. In the fourth dimension, people can prove that right through this room now is coming radioactivity, radio messages. Coming right through this building now is coming television pictures. But it's too fast for our eyes. Now you go millions of miles beyond that dimension, and you'll get into a place that's just as real as television pictures is in this room this morning. There's the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrected Son of God, standing here. And the reason that you can't see Him is because our heart hasn't become tuned down to it. And the reason we can't see the television pictures, where our bodies are not set as instruments to pick up mechanical scent things. Our bodies are not set as instruments to pick up mechanical scent things. But when our body becomes in tune with God, becoming a part of Him, then our soul can pick up the power of the Holy Spirit to vindicate the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in all of His power and omnipotence. He has risen from the dead. He lives among us today, and he wants fellowship back with his people again. His great majesty, his glory is now spreading forth, and he's desiring to fellowship again with his people like he did in the Garden of Eden. So here we sit in a church on Silver Street in New Albany, Indiana. We all know where we're at. But in this room with us right now are radio signals, television signals, and according to what I just read from the prophet, there's even heavenly messages flowing through this room right now. There are angelic messages, signals that are being sent from the throne of God for what you need in your life. You just have to let yourself be tuned to it, so that you can hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Now, in this presence that's in this room, this is not something that David Hoover was able to produce. This is not something that Nathan Bryant brought with him. This is Almighty God who has just settled down on this congregation. And he's wanting to prove his word tonight. He wants you to just allow him to play the strings in your life so that he can receive glory and honor and praise. I just wonder, most of you have your head bowed, but how many of you would raise your hand to him and say, Lord, I want you to be the one that's playing my instrument. I want you to be the one that makes the music in my life. God bless you. All over the church. Just hold that on your heart and say, God, I just want to have communion with you before I leave. Before I go back for another week out in Laodicea in Satan's Eden, I just would like for you to come and play across the instrument, the strings of my heart, and let me hear you. Worship him. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. Let him play across your heart as you talk to him. Say, play that softly. I'm just going to invite you. This may be strange to you, but I'm just doing what he's playing. Some of you may be able to do it in your heart. Some of you may be able to do it only in your mind. Some of you may physically have to do it, and if you do, that's fine with me. But if you need to get up, mentally, spiritually, physically, whatever, and go back. Clear your mind and step over the line and come back in here to worship the living God. Then do that. If you came with troubles of this life and things of this life crowding your mind and you can't concentrate on Jesus Christ, don't be ashamed. It's nothing to be embarrassed by. I've had to do it before. I've had to stop in the middle of a song service and just say, devil, not now, not here. I'm going to worship Jesus Christ. Sometimes I physically got up and went out, stepped over the line and come back into the sanctuary so that I could praise God the way that I was supposed to. You do whatever you have to do, but I just want you to forget who's sitting next to you, before you, behind you, around you, and let's just worship the Lord for a while. Lord, prepare me, Lord Jesus. Lord, I want to be a sanctuary of the Most High God. I want to be a vessel of honor for you, Lord Jesus. I want you to come, Lord Jesus. Use this instrument for what you designed him for what your purpose was from before the foundations of the earth, God. Just take over, Lord Jesus. Let all of David Hoover just die on the altar. But Lord, you take control. You have preeminence in my life. Lord, that's our prayer, Lord. That's our desire, Lord Jesus. What kind of symphony could you make out of this group of people, Lord? We would just yield ourselves to you. We just surrender fully. Lord, nobody afraid of what somebody else was going to say. Nobody embarrassed by how they might sound or what they might look like. Lord, it's just me and you time, Lord. It's just me and you, Lord. Shut in, Lord, in worship, in true, heartfelt worship, Lord. No pretense, no trying to get the music to a certain beat or none of that stuff, Lord. Not any of the things the denomination taught us, Lord, but just the purity of your word in a people worshiping you, Lord, your Jesus, speaking your word back to you, God. Lord, you said you inhabit the praises of your people. We believe, Lord, that you're here this evening, Lord, inhabiting the praises, Lord. Hands up all over the place, Lord. People just worshiping you in spirit and in truth. God, surely you are inhabiting this place. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, just let him have all of you. Just surrender to him. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of what man can say or do. Just yield to him. Hallelujah. Be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with
a sanctuary for you, oh Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy. Oh,
Why me, Lord?
What have I ever done to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known?
Tell me, Lord.
What did I ever do that was worth loving you or the kindness you've shown? Lord, help me, Jesus. I've wasted it, so help me, Jesus. Lord, I
think there's a way I could ever repay all I've taken from you. Oh, maybe, Lord, this instrument could show someone else the things I've been through myself on my way back to you. Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. Lord, I've wasted it, so help me, Jesus. Lord, I know what I soul's in your hand. Let's sing it again together. Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. I've wasted it, so help me, Jesus. Lord, I know what I
I don't know what some people think, but I think I'm going to have the trustees buy us some red duct tape. Put it across all the entryways into this building to remind us. Amen. When we come in here, it's not about our opinion or our idea or what's going on. It's about worshiping Him, getting in His presence. You know, it's kind of funny. The whole church was divided over these lights right back here. We had half the people that wanted them on and half the people that wanted them off. And finally, thank God for trustees with some wisdom. Brother Jimmy went and got some really low watt bulbs and put them in there. I thought, well, you can make everybody happy, I guess. I tried to grow a beard for a few weeks, and the church was divided over that. Some people liked it, some people didn't like it. I just bought my wife a Cadillac, and I know there's some people that won't care that it's 6 years old and has 125,000 miles on it. Some people think he shouldn't have it, and some people be grateful and happy about it. And no matter what we do, the temperature, the thermostat, or who's singing or playing music, or who's preaching, or what we're doing, there's going to be somebody, I wish you would have did this service. I wish they would have did that service. Why don't you go back across the tape and come back in? Amen. Remember why we're here. Amen. You don't know, Brother Hoover, but that was a masterpiece tonight. You might think it was simple, but it was what we all needed, from the pastor to the back pew to the whatever it would be. Amen. We all needed that tonight. Amen. Well, don't lose focus on why we're here. It's all right to have opinions and ideas and preferences and things like that. I understand that, but don't let that lose sight of why we're here.
Amen. We're here to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Let's just worship him a little while longer. I know it's a little late because Brother Arnie took all of Brother Hoover's time, but let's maybe sing one more before we go. Amen. Oh, there's a light in the window and the tables spread in splendor. I know someone's standing by the open door. Church, I can see the crystal river, so I know I must be near forever, 'cause I've never been this homesick before. Oh, see the bright light shine, it's just about home time. Oh my, I can see my father standing at the door. Let's just think about a little preview. I can see my family gather, those sweet faces all familiar, but no one's old or feeble anymore. Sometimes my lonesome heart gets crying. Saints, I feel like spreading my wings for flying, 'cause I've never, glory, been this homesick before. Oh, see the bright light shine, it's just about homegoing time. Oh, I can see my father standing at the door. This homesick before. I want to hear you sing it tonight. Those sweet faces, so familiar, but not one of them is old or feeble anymore. Sometimes my lonesome heart gets to crying. Church, I feel like spreading my wings for flying, 'cause I've never been this homesick before. Oh, see the bright light shine. Standing at the door. This world has been a wilderness. Oh yes, deliverance. Oh Lord, I've never been this homesick before. Oh, see the bright light shine, it's just about home time. Oh, I can see my father standing at the door. This world's been a wilderness, we're ready for deliverance. Oh Lord, I've never been this homesick before. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Oh, blessed be the rock. My salvation. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Oh, blessed be the rock. Well, oh,
it's never heard by mortal ear. Oh, it'll be glorious, I do declare. And God's own Son, He will be the leading one at that meeting in the air. Oh, there is going to be a meeting in the air, in the sweet, sweet by and by. Oh, I am going to meet you, greet you over there in that home beyond the sky. Oh, such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear. It'll be glorious, I do declare. And God's own Son, He'll be the leading one at that meeting. God bless you. Let's sing it as we go. There is going to be a meeting in the air, in that sweet, sweet by and by. Oh, I am going to meet you, greet you over there in that home beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear. It'll be glorious, I do declare. God's own Son, He'll be the leading one at that in the air. Many things there will be missing in that meeting, for the mourner's bench will have no place at all. There will never be a sermon preached to sinners, for the sinner had refused.